Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. All right, everybody, we're back. Great Divide Podcast. Thanks for being here. Remember, go over to the website, get all the episodes of The Great Divide, 1776.com. With me today, I have Alex Phillips. Alex is the CEO of American Priority. He's an advocate for freedom and liberty, and he's also the host and founder of AmpFest, which is a kick-ass party of all kinds of Republican and conservative names down in Miami, Florida. Alex, thanks for being here. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me. We're just getting by today, doing our thing. I'm a working guy just like you are, trying to make ends meet. We try to have these events to allow folks to get together sort of offline, so to speak, and have some educational time, learn about what's going on, and basically interact with people face-to-face. I think face-to-face communications is sometimes underappreciated by folks.
You know, it's funny. Everything you just said, you make it sound like this is some small potatoes thing. I mean, everyone is going to end up going to the website, but AmpFest, it's not some small thing. I mean, you have some pretty high profile keynote speakers. And I understand that from looking at the website. It seems like, and like you just said, a more intimate setting, but you have General Flynn. I mean, you have Roger Stone. I believe you have Kristi Noem possibly might be there. I'm hearing Matt Gaetz might be there. These are huge firebrand names. They're celebrities in the conservative movement, the America First movement, or the MAGA movement, however you want to label it, the For America and Screw Socialism movement. This isn't a small thing, and it's at the Trump Duval, right?
Trump Doral, yeah, Trump Miami. Trump Doral. So basically, it's a four-day conference that's sort of very immersive. So you're not just going to sessions and hearing somebody, you know, say something on stage. We try to distinguish ourselves about that because, you know, I've been to a lot of conferences where, you know, folks sit in a chair and you hear somebody speak and it's very exciting because they are saying exactly what you want to hear. And, the next person speaks. So we have a lot of things going on during the week at AmpFest. So we start off the week with a golf tournament to raise funds for our foundation. And also we're partnering up with Code of Vets because we believe, you know, we need to remember our vets and take care of our vets first. And they do a lot of work with the homeless veteran population and folks that are having difficulties. We transition from the golf tournament over to just a pool party, right? And the Trump Doral, the Trump National Golf Resort is a beautiful place and they have a beautiful pool. We're going to have live music. We're going to have some fashion shows. George Papadopoulos' wife, Simone, is a fashionista. She's got her own line of swimsuits and other things that she's going to be having people model there at the pool. So it's going to be pretty exciting to see that kind of stuff. But then we're going to also have, you know, people saying a few things. We're going to have some sponsors there, but you have a good time. And then we're going to transition from there over to we got a seminar. That's going to be for a select few who want to attend to this to learn about how to, how can I put it, pay less taxes, you know, every year I do.
Yep. We all love paying less taxes.
Well, every year I do my taxes. Last year, I think, was the last time because I'm just so fed up with it. But, you know, every year previous to that, I wish there was a checkbox. My money does not go to this, does not go to that, and I can just list all the things that I don't want my money to go to, but we can't do that. So we're going to teach folks some things that the elite and the real rich people already know how to do. If you run your own business or if you've got a real estate business or you're in the investments or if you're, you know, you've got your own income coming from other rental properties and different things like that, but basically, you know, not a W-4 type income. We're going to show some interesting tricks on how you can do things about tax deferment. So that doesn't mean not paying taxes. It just means not paying them maybe while Biden's in administration. know, while Biden's president, or why the Democrats are running the show. So you pay your taxes when you want to, you know, inject some of your own funds into the process of doing things that you want or think should be done. So, you know, we're going to teach a little bit about that. And then we're going to have a special party called the Priority Pass Party. And that's for, we're going to have a lot of our speakers that are there that evening, and our, we call our Priority Pass holders, people that basically bought a general admission ticket early through the window of time to get the Priority Pass. So you're not really buying a VIP ticket per se, you're buying a Priority Pass ticket. So you get to come to this party and hang out with some of the speakers and meet some of the VIPs that evening. So that's how we start off the day. The first day of the conference is, you know, a lot of fun, a lot of getting to know people and meeting people and having fun. And then we're going to kick off the next day with speakers and presentations and panels and, you know, the learning part of it. But then you'll get to see some of these people afterwards. We're going to have some, you know, some of our folks that buy our Patriot Pass and our VIP packages can come meet with some of the folks in the VIP speaker booth area, which is going to be a little lounge that we set up. And then we're going to have some more festivities that evening. And then we're going to cap off Saturday night with the gala. That's where General Flynn will be there. And hopefully some other, you know, exciting folks will be there to present some awards for people that we feel need to be recognized in this MAGA movement. You know, this free speech, this First Amendment, this constitutional movement of folks that are doing great things. So we're going to recognize some people. And then on Sunday, we're going to have basically, you know, non-denominational religious celebration day. We'll have music. We'll have inspirational speakers. I know for me, that was the first year we did it last year with the type of musical acts that we had and the speakers. And it was a very emotional. Basically, you know, you don't even need any coffee that day. You just show up and you get juiced up really well by the inspiration that comes from that stage.
That's awesome. I was reading earlier today, I think on, might've been your website or someone else that was promoting it, that you had a large number, an influx in women registrants for the seminar. I'm not going to call it a seminar, AmpFest. We'll just, yeah. AmpFest. Right? Am I right reading that?
Yeah, it was kind of unusual because we just noticed that by looking at the demographics. And I think that what we're seeing is that, you know, there's a lot of women that feel very strongly about this country. They feel very strongly about family values. I mean, you know, they are, they seem to be getting trivialized by a lot of different groups. You know, women who want to have a family, people don't want to raise children. That want to have a traditional family. But, you know, in some cases, some of them like to do both. I mean, I know my wife, you know, she's a conservative woman, and she basically did both. You know, she raised kids, and she had a professional career as a physical therapist. So, you know, I think that, you know, we're seeing, you know, the narrative that the media spins to the public is so wrong these days that people are just, they're done. They're done with it. And they want to come to these events and they want to hear what's going on. And we're going to talk about a lot of issues. So people ask me about the name American Priority, you know, like there's one thing. And, you know, there kind of is one primary and priority that's very important. And, but it allows us to do so many things. And that's our ability to speak freely. Our free speech is number one on the list of the Bill of Rights, because it allows us to talk about things that we want to talk about. Maybe not everybody agrees with those things. Maybe, you know, I don't agree with you on one thing, or you don't agree with me on another thing. But that ability for us to talk freely without retribution, without being, you know, taking basically off the board, which is what's happening today on social media, is really one of those priority things. And so basically people will come and talk about topics. They'll talk about medical freedom. They'll talk about religious freedom. They will talk about our liberties. They will talk about what's going on. And, you know, basically pulling back the veneer of what the media puts in front of us all the time and really get a chance to see and hear about things that are going on in the world and actually talk to people face to face that are experiencing the same thing.
You know, there's no doubt we know mainstream media, our First Amendment is being abused every which way, especially social media. I'm a Facebook fugitive. Every time I turn around, they're putting me in the Facebook gulag for 30 days for telling somebody, well, I don't agree with you. And then they attack me and I tell them, well, you can stay home in mommy's basement playing Xbox, stuffing your face with Hot Pockets, and then I get 30 days in Facebook jail for bullying and harassment. And it's like, oh, and I know why. It's obviously because of my political views. And everyone in this day and age, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram, if you're a conservative, if you're sometimes a white male straight conservative, they persecute you. They go after you. If you're a political figure, obviously, look at all the conservatives they've gone after. Look what they're doing to Donald Trump still to this day. I mean, you know, today they indicting his CFO on nonsense, things that if you looked into every major corporation, and I bet you even to some smaller or medium sized corporations, people are doing. They're paying some of their employees off the books. Some people are getting leased cars. Some people are getting free apartments, school tuition. And obviously we know this is just a squeeze to completely try to scorch, you know, Donald Trump in the hopes that they can derail him if he decides to run for president again. Yeah, you know, it's a
signal. So we know that this is happening now, which means that something else is about ready to happen. This is getting ahead of. So I suspect that we're going to start hearing some stuff about some of the election integrity audits going on and more. And so they're getting ahead of all this stuff. So it doesn't matter how any of that stuff pans out. Trump's not going to run. So it doesn't matter. So that's what I think that's what the plan is. And I think, the public is just going to have to sit tight. I feel bad for these gentlemen that are going to have to deal with all this. They got caught in the crosshairs. There's been a lot of people over the past, 4 or 5 years that have gotten caught in the crosshairs in this political game where they weaponize the Department of Justice, the CIA, NSA, whoever against you. And the public is getting ready to see this firsthand. And I think that everybody should take note. The free speech situation on social media is, something that really got me involved in doing what I'm doing now as far as AmpFest. I come from the internet world. I'm a broadband service provider. I've been in the internet business since 1995. So I've literally seen this industry grow from, whoever heard of the internet to, I can't live without the internet.
Right. I mean, were you there when Al Gore invented the internet? Is that how far back you go?
I think I felt something, but it turned out to be gas. No, I started teaching people about dial-up internet probably in 94, 93, 94 time, because it was very new back then and nobody really understood what it was. I still had a 9-to-5 job. I worked at the bank in Richmond, Virginia. And, I just decided I was going to do this. And then eventually, I left my job and started a business in a rural part of the Shenandoah Valley. And, I've been going strong since. But I spent 6 years, though, on the board of directors of the Wireless ISP Association, going to D.C., meeting with regulators, meeting with folks on the Hill. I've had full-on confrontations with folks in Congress and in the Senate side, House of Representatives side. I went into Feinstein's office and met with her folks, and we were trying to get a bill passed for some small business relief, and she was against it. And so I went in there with my gang, sat down and went all Godfather on her and told her that, if they don't go for this thing, we're just going to let everybody know, all of our customers know nationwide who to ask why they have a government regulatory recovery fee on their bill, and they can call your office. And 30 minutes afterwards, they were for it, and we got a unanimous vote on that bill in the Senate, two times running. Then President Trump took over, and the problem went away, so we didn't need to fight anymore.
It's amazing what problems went away when President Trump was in office and the problems solved. I mean, I was just yesterday I was watching the border interviews with him down there and then with Kamala Harris when she went down there, and obviously it's said everywhere, but we know true to fact that, you know, cackling Kamala only went down there because she had to beat Donald Trump there. She probably would have never went if he didn't accept Governor Abbott's an invitation to go. And you just see the dramatic difference, just the whole, just how everybody was when Donald Trump showed up, the governor there. I mean, there were droves of people there in support. Kamala Harris is there, and they actually had signs up saying, "You took a wrong turn. This isn't Europe. You're not wanted. Trump won. The governor wasn't there. Everybody's in masks. She's walking in facilities, and it looks like a dictator from some weird country coming in, talking to her subjects, and sits in an airport." I mean, there can't be that many stupid people in this country that can't can't see what's going on.
You know, it's funny. So I deal with the public all the time, and the public believes what they're told if they're told enough times. And today, you know, believe it or not, almost if not exactly half of the households in our country get their news and information from cable and satellite and over the air internet, over the air television. Okay. And that's changing. It's changing, but it's not changing fast enough from my perspective. So many people still get their information from these oligarchs, the six companies that run everything, your AT&T's, which runs, you know, CNN and CBS, which is Viacom, and, you know, all these big companies. And so, you know, folks aren't going to dig. You know, the average person doesn't want to spend a large portion of their life researching what is and what is not going on in our nation. They want to hear it from the 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock news in some cases, or 11 o'clock news. They want to read it in the paper. They just want it to be hand fed to them in a way that they can understand it and move on and focus on sports, going out, movies, whatever it is that, you know, vacations,
right,
gardening, things that they enjoy doing. And that's unfortunate that in our nation today, that so many people have to spend time focused on these things. I have a lot of friends that don't know anything that's going on. I'll sit down there and I'll say, "You heard about this BlackRock organization?" And they'll be like, "What? You know, who's BlackRock?" They don't know anything about BlackRock. And I just go blah, 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 a million miles a minute without everything that's going on. And they're like, "How do you know all this stuff?" Well, you know, I've dedicated a part of my life to keeping up with it. And it's a sacrifice for a lot of folks. But I would like to see our world come back to the place where we can rely on the media, a media source, you know, that you can trust. Because here's the thing, all right? So many people have gotten to the point now where they only trust the media sources that say what they believe. And you see this with some of the Newsmax, you see this with some of these other groups, Fox, obviously, you know, the conservative groups, the MAGA movement turned on Fox on a dime on election night. I mean, it was like, it was done. They're done. You know, they were all done. They lost all their viewers because,
and I didn't fully
they didn't
agree
say
with
what
that.
They wanted them to hear.
I know.
But, and, you know, in reality, you know, we got to get back to the news says it, it's facts. I don't agree with it, but it's the truth. We need to have that world again. And that means choice. That means freedom of speech has to come back. We can't be censoring people that say things that are counter to the narrative. And, you know, I would like to see that. I would like to see us get back to that, because we need to have people's views, right? I'm not, and I, you know, I don't know how you feel about your opinion, but my opinion is not right all the time. Okay. And I would like to hear other people's opinions that might be different than mine. And maybe, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong, you know, and that means conservative and liberals need to have debate. We need to be able to talk about our positions on things so that either I can acknowledge that you are right as a liberal, or the liberal can acknowledge that I am right as a conservative. But if we're just like, you know, "Hey, you're a conservative, whatever you say, you're racist, throw you under the bus."
Right.
What happens? Nothing.
No, absolutely. So I'm all about having conversations, and I'm in the same boat. I have my opinions on certain things, but I want to hear other opinions from the other side. I don't want to fight with them. I truly want to hear it. I always have this thought in my head when I'm talking to a liberal Democrat or someone that has a different opinion that I have. And it could be about anything, maybe not just politics. And I say in my head, all right, sell it to me. You're trying to sell me this pen. You're trying to sell me this car. Sell it to me. Let's see if I'm going to buy it. And I listen to it. And I don't, if I disagree, I don't disagree with hostility. I try to have a conversation. Unfortunately, with politics, the conversation usually turns hostile rapidly, and not on the side mostly of conservatives. At least I could speak for myself and other conservatives that I know. But the liberal, or they're not even all liberals. Some of them are just radical progressives or a Democrat, whatever. So many different names now. If we're having that disagreement, Why do you find the need to just completely destroy my humanity to the point where you want to call my business and try to destroy it, or just post things about whether they're lies or truths about somebody on social media because you disagree with them? And it goes both ways. It's that I'm reading, you talk about the media too. The media, we know, they're all owned by the same people, and then they have ties into Democrat presidential administrations back to Obama and everywhere else. I'm reading a book right now that I'm halfway through it. I've been telling everybody about it. Alex Marlow from Breitbart News, the editor of Breitbart, wrote it. It's called Breaking the News. And he put so much work into this book. And if anyone who really wants a deep dive into these ridiculous, distorted, crazy connections between media and corporations, and who owns who and who's with what, I tell everybody, go out and read it, Breaking the News. It's really amazing. And it's not like, oh, it's just him bashing everybody on the left. No, it's true to fact, everything there that's been investigated, and it shows you the connections. And it's scary how corrupt mainstream media is. And you mentioned Newsmax. So I watch Newsmax. I like Greg Kelly. I like Grant Stinchfield, Spicer and company. I watch every once in a while just to torture myself. I'll watch CNN and, all them, Chuck Todd, try not to puke all over myself. But I do it because I want to get kind of both sides and just the where I can come in the middle. But the problem is that the era of objective journalism is gone right now. And like you say, I hope one day it comes back, but everybody's glued to their idiot boxes. And like you said, what's on the 6 o'clock news? What's on CNN? What's on MSNBC? Even if someone's partial to Newsmax, listen, Newsmax is guilty of it too. They'll sit there and all day it's destroy the left, destroy the left, destroy the left. I get that there is a lot of stuff. They have a lot of ammo to destroy the left about, because I do it too. But I just want to see the general public, who don't take the time to research things like you and me, to let the public give them the facts, not opinion. Give them the facts so they can inform their own opinion, like journalism is supposed to be. And I also tell everybody, listen, you watch the news, I watch the news. Instead of going on, Pornhub, maybe go on Google and let your fingers do some walking. And if you have an issue in your head, Google it, and you could see everybody's perspective. And maybe you'll even see some facts about something you didn't know about. You talked about, I just had a fog. Was it Blackwater?
BlackRock. BlackRock.
BlackRock. Yeah. BlackRock. Isn't that the company? And I didn't do a fault of my own. I didn't do a lot of research on it. I just saw you tweeted something about it in the last couple of days. Isn't that the company that's been going around the country buying up as much real estate as possible as part of that? They really want to see every American be a renter and not an owner of property. Is that them?
Well, that's just one of the scams they've got going on, I think. I think that they're the largest multinational investment group in the country, in the world, that is. They are, they got their hands into everything. And, I just posted a story about, how them and their sister company, actually they're not really a sister company, but their brothers in arms, Vanguard, who's the second largest multinational investment company in the world, are making bundles of cash on municipal bonds now. And these are all things that, you know, I would say the average person wouldn't really quite even know this, but, you know, there's the BlackRock organization has got at least two people now in the Biden administration. You know, one of them is the deputy treasurer, and, you know, they're actually advising and making decisions that are having an impact on our world in a long-term way. And, you know, that was just one of the things. And, you know, they were one of the majority, they're one of the bigger owners of Alphabet. Okay.
Okay.
And I see the correlations between things. So, you know, on YouTube, for example, which is an Alphabet company, I see these Generac commercials for solar panels. You know, get your free, basically government subsidized solar system at your house, and it's a Generac system. Okay, Generac stock price went up $100 shortly after Biden took office. We're subsidizing that organization. That's a BlackRock company, a BlackRock owned, you know, influentially owned company. They don't own the majority of it, but if you own 5 to 20% of a company, that means that you can walk into the CEO's office whenever you want. You can have lunch with the people on the board. You can say, hey, oh, by the way, you know, I think you should be going this direction versus that direction. And if you don't go that direction, we might not have any more money for you. You know, there's stories of them having an investment influence in the energy sector. You know, they control, they have influence on the banking, energy, security, all these different sectors, foundational sectors of our world. And people don't know that because they're not paying attention, because they can't. They rely on the news. They rely on, you know, the gumshoe reporter to tell us, hey, this is a problem and I'm reporting it.
It just boggles my mind again, just the connections and the influence, because everything is influence, power, and money. And then you talk about people in BlackRock that were, you know, in the Biden administration, and you know, and I know it happens everywhere. I mean, look at Jen Psaki, the press secretary. She the moment Biden took office, she left as a CNN contributor and ran over to be the press secretary. It's like a shameless plug, and Alex Marlowe is not even, you know, returning my emails to come on my show and talk about his book. But he talks about that in his book too. His book is amazing; it really is. But they talk about all of the people in the different administrations, everyone that was in these mainstream media, you know, left leaning networks, legacy media that are all working in the Biden administration. There's no integrity. There's no objective, anything.
Here's the thing. So, you know, when it comes to the social media part of it, which is where we're seeing most of the censorship, I mean, we're never going to stop CNN from being CNN. We're not going to stop Fox from being Fox. You know, they're going to do their thing. They're in their market segment. That's where they make their money. Let them go there. Okay. So it was the internet that really tore down their house of cards, so to speak. And so, you know, taking that control away from us through centralized, you know, controls using AIs on Facebook or on Twitter really, you know, allowed them to rein us free thinkers in, right? We can't be talking about stuff that's not part of the narrative anymore. And so that was the problem that existed. They were able to leverage technology to basically control that segment, and they're making big money being able to target market to, you know, you say something to your wife about something and tomorrow you go to your web browser and bam, they're marketing that crap to you. How'd they know? Well, because they heard you on the phone. Google heard you on the phone, and this is real. It's not conspiracy theory.
No, I know.
You know, it's real. So and I'm happy for them. Okay, so they were able to take a concept of propaganda and marketing that was invented during the 1940s Nazi occupation of the world and until the United States and our allies defeated them, and make it into this really great big money-making scheme. I'm happy for them, okay? They got us, all right? People are happy that they're being marketed to, I guess. And they want to take that to the next step. But the real thing is that our free speech, that's where they've crossed the line, is that our ability to communicate with each other. And and I've looked at this problem, and you know, so many people, pundits, you know, Newsmax, like you said, they bash the left, they go after the tech fascists, whatever. But I've been kind of looking at this argument from a more objective way. All right, I'm not looking at this as the left is censoring us. Okay, yes, Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg are left leaning people. Okay, but if you take away some of the political rhetoric and that kind of, you know, just basically, you know, using left terms of leftists and lefties and conservatives, these guys are running companies that have users. And what has happened is that, you know, they have a large portion of their user base that's talking on the internet freely. And then 25% of that group all of a sudden occupies 100% of their support cost. So basically, when you're running an application like Twitter or Facebook, you have support costs. You have to answer questions. You have to respond to complaints. And so when 25%, and I'm just pulling numbers out of the air, but I'm assuming that it's a minority component of the population complains about the majority's speech on the internet, and that occupies 100% of their support costs. So they make policy, and they end up censoring and banning and creating things to help manage their networks. And in another world, in an alternate dimension, well, alternate universe, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey are conservatives. And so we're talking about the liberals now complaining about being censored on the internet. And that's a very easy possibility if things don't ever change. If we have centralized controls, if we basically put them in a position of being responsible for what is said, because they are able to be responsible about what is said. And when you get a group of people in a room talking to each other face to face, the only people that are responsible are the people talking to each other, right, and the people listening to the other person. There's no middleman saying, oh, wait a minute, be warned, he's getting ready to say something graphic, you might want to turn it off. So right, people have to be responsible for themselves. And so I envision, you know, being able to leverage the technology and advancements of the internet, but maintaining free speech so the folks can have the ability to talk without a centralized hub. And, you know, it's not really complicated. And we've been looking into that issue right now at AmpFest and at American Priority. I've putting my money where my mouth is, and I'm trying to develop a communications app. I'm not calling it a social media app because it's not really. You know, you do with it what you, if you want to be social, if you want to meet girls, if you want to talk politics, if you want to exchange cat videos, you know, recipes, whatever, it's up to you. I don't care what you do with it. But the ability for people to communicate peer to peer, like we are doing now, you're talking to me and I'm talking to you. Now, we are going through some kind of centralized system that theoretically could interrupt our communication at any time. But in my world that I envision with the internet, people won't have that ability. I, as an operator of this network, won't know what you're saying. So I can't tag your conversation as being racist or misogynist or hate speech. I don't know what you're talking about. If you decide to announce yourself as being a political commentator and people want to hear political commentary, they can subscribe to your feed. But if they don't, then they don't have to hear what you have to say. You know, it's real simple, right? I don't want to hear what you say, so I don't listen. You know, my wife does it all the time. She just turns it off, and I'm not hearing what you're saying because it's politics.
She turns you off, you mean? She's like, I'm not listening to Alex right now. Everybody, my wife does the same thing. It's time to zone Alan out. He's on a tirade. He's on a rant again. And she runs the other way.
But it's just something that, you know, we're literally in a world of some of the most sophisticated technology ever known to man that allows us to do these things on the internet. But we're still using what's called a design, a system design that really goes all the way back to the days of cave paintings. Okay. We are still painting pictures on a cave wall. And the guy in charge of that cave wall is the guy you have to go to be able to paint on that wall or be able to read what's on that wall. And if you don't get past that guy, you don't get on the wall and you don't get to learn what's on the wall. And so Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey are literally the guy in charge of the cave paintings. You know, that's the system design we're working on, because it's not been a possibility using technology up until recently that allowed me to know how to get to you directly over the internet. And so we're going to basically try to take advantage of some of this new technology that allows people to know how. It's like a phone number almost. It's called an IPv6 address, and you can use it for a lot of things. You can use it as your phone number so people can contact you. They can send you a message. We'll call it a text message or an email message, but there's no server. There's no middleman tagging it, listening to it, reading it. It's all encrypted based on your keys. And, you know, so the NSA can't really pick it up over the air. And even if you do use encrypted services like Signal, which we heard, the reports from the FBI on January 6th, what were they doing? They were listening to your Signal conversations, right? So people have this misinterpretation or this misconception that these so-called encrypted services are secure, but they always go someplace and then they go from there to the other place. And so who's listening in on that place in the middle is where the opportunity for your information to be intercepted is where the problem is.
Somebody's always listening, you know, and yeah, the FBI with Signal and everything else, that they're out there hunting people that were at the January 6th riots, like the Nazis were hunting Jews in Poland. I mean, it's just complete and utter disgustingness on what they're doing. People sitting in jail for trespassing. That's just, I could go on for hours about that. I wanted to, you know, I saw also, you're a gun guy. Seems,
oh,
correct?
Yeah.
So you're into gunsmithing and whatnot. I'm a gun guy myself, but not gunsmithing, just, you know, collecting and shooting. But I don't know if you saw it, San Jose, they passed the law, I'm in New York. I'm in the blue bubble, and they kill us with the gun restrictions here. It's just disgusting and horrible. San Jose passed a law saying that now gun owners must have liability insurance and pay fees and, I believe, certain taxes. I think it just passed either yesterday or today. Did you hear that?
No, I missed it. I was reading about Ed Markey's plans for the people being able to manufacture their own guns with 3D printers. And I wasn't really sure where he was going with that, because he's completely trampling on free speech. So number one amendment, and then, you know, Second Amendment is your ability to build your own firearm.
Right. They have that whole issue, Biden with his nonsense with the ghost guns and the whole narrative about, you know, the big bad AR-15s, and, you know, they're not going to stop. They're going to keep pushing it. They're going to deflect. I mean, they're deflecting everything. They're now blaming defund the police on Republicans, when we know damn well that's an outright lie. But, you know, You're in a Second Amendment friendly state, right? They don't.
Well, Virginia is starting. The Democrats have taken over the state house. Both at the governor's mansion, and they tried to do some Second Amendment affecting legislations. And there was a lot of Democrats that said, "Hey, wait a minute," because we've got a rich tradition. I mean, for the longest time, I think Virginia was blamed for supplying guns to you guys up in New York for the longest time.
Yeah, I did. I remember hearing about that. It's thank you. We needed them.
But here's the thing. All right. So I've got this theory about, you know, the Second Amendment issues, and, you know, there's the abortion, and there's the Green New Deal, and what you call climate change. You know, there's a lot of people making money on both sides of these issues. Okay. I kind of imagine, you know, tomorrow Biden says, okay, we're going to introduce a bill to take away everybody's AR-15. And then, you know, it gets into the House passes, the Senate passes. And then what happens? Well, you know, if they thought January 6th was an insurrection, I think they're going to get a big lesson. I just don't believe that they're going to do anything to our Second Amendment rights. I think it's all money making for politicians. So I'm going to fight gun violence, or I'm going to protect your Second Amendment rights. Donate to my campaign. Donate to my campaign. And that's all it is. Same thing with abortion. I think if you were to remove the money from a lot of these issues, all of a sudden, they kind of go away and they are resolved by nature.
Yeah. I can agree. I can agree 100% with the Second Amendment. Abortion, I'm almost there with you. You know, that's a whole other issue. And unfortunately, you know, even the left, you know, they capitalize on these things as well, you know. And it's funny because the left is always attacking the right for, you know, because capitalism is bad. You know, the progressives, they hate capitalism, but there is. It's not being guilty of being a capitalist. I own two businesses. I love to capitalize. You love to capitalize. You're looking to capitalize on a communications app that can't be tracked by, you know, anybody. So everybody's going to make money on something. We know that. And the hypocritical arguments just get me all the time. Like the Second Amendment. Yes, you have the one, you'll have Republicans, you know, donate to my campaign or donate to this. You know, yeah, the New York Gun Association, or even the NRA, donate, so we can fight. And then obviously you have the gun control activist groups that are doing the same thing, fundraisers, donate. So both sides are guilty of it. We know that. It's just nobody's taking away the Second Amendment right. And there are some people I know, they're diehard. They're gonna take our guns away. They're not. Could you imagine what it would take to go around the United States and take every single AR-15 out of people's houses? You know,
oh yeah, just do a search on two things: how many police officers are there in the United States, and how many AR-15 gun owners are there in the United States? And those numbers are way off.
And they're not going to use the military. The military is not knocking down doors, coming in looking for guns. It's not going to happen. They want to restrict the availability of AR-15s. Is that possible? It is, obviously it is, but are they going to turn every gun owner into a felon who has an AR-15 if you don't give them back? Well, then I'm either going to be a felon until someone comes into my house and finds my weapons and then convicts me of that felony, but they're not going to come into my house and take them. Because like you said, they thought January 6th was bad, and it would be a very, very big, unfortunate incident that nobody wants.
Well, I apologize for using January 6th even as an example, because it was not an insurrection. You know,
it wasn't.
It was a mostly peaceful protest in every aspect, and there were some select agitators in there that, you know, people know that created the situation. And it was, you know, I saw what the cops were doing. I stayed in the designated area that I was supposed to stay in. My only complaint to the organizers of, or the parks people that allowed us to protest there peacefully, was that they didn't have enough bathrooms there. It was a complete disaster. I mean, it was literally Mount Everest in every peedy potty out there. I mean, it was disgusting.
Oh my God.
All right. And then there ought to be a commission on that one, to be honest with you. Who was in charge of the toilets?
Yeah, I mean, maybe Liz Cheney will want to be on that one. She just okayed being on Nancy Pelosi's January 6th bullshit commission. But yeah, I say this all the time on my show. I did, I think, a whole half an episode on it. January 6th was not an insurrection. There were up to like 500 people that were arrested. There is not one charge of insurrection. I love still people. You know, oh, you're a Republican and a Trump supporter. Oh, you support insurrection. No, I don't actually, because nobody was trying to overthrow the government. There was no insurrection. Oh, it was. Because what? Because CNN said it? And then I pull up, because you can find a list of charges for every single person arrested, name, state, and their exact charge. It was like when it was like 490-something, I looked it up. I printed it out, and I gave it to a friend of mine. And I said, here, and I handed her a highlighter. And I says, you highlight every single charge that says sedition, insurrection, or treason, which is punishable by death. For every single one of those charges you find, I'll give you $100. Because you're not going to find one. Because it wasn't an insurrection. It wasn't an attempt to overthrow the government. And there, you know, Biden made that idiotic statement about, you know, with crime and gun control, about how, well, you're not going to take on the government because I have F-15s and nukes. And he's worried about Americans trying to take over the government armed, but he's in another sentence, he'll say that a group tried to take over the Capitol unarmed, and that's what all they were scared of. And it's just complete nonsense. The hypocrisy is ridiculous. No, wasn't an insurrection. Were those people that walked around the Capitol, were they wrong? Yeah. Breaking windows, doors. There were some people that got hurt. I'm not talking about killed, because nobody was murdered there except for one person, Ashley Babbitt. One person was murdered. I believe the president put out a statement today, and that's all it said on it. I saw it floating around. Who shot Ashley Babbitt? That's the only person that was murdered there. So it makes me hot in my chest when I hear people say that because I support Trump, or if somebody wears a Make America Great Again hat, that they're a white supremacist, an insurrectionist. They hate the country. They hate law enforcement. And it's just disgusting. It just makes me crazy, you know?
Oh, I agree with you. And the biggest offenders of this narrative problem is the media. We're coming back to, you know, the people that are doing they're supposed to be our advocate. You know, the days of Walter Cronkite are so far gone. I mean, I think if Walter Cronkite was here today, he would be disgusted with what's going on with the media, because he felt it was his responsibility to report the facts, you know, whether you liked them or not. And,
right.
You know, and I think that things really started to take a change during, you know, George W. Bush's time. And, you know, I'm not going to just be a Republican rah, rah all the time. You know, That was that Republican administration that changed the FCC regulations on fair reporting. And ever since then, things have just been downhill. You know, we've got so much polarization, and it comes down to money. You know, and you know, you can't begrudge Fox for, you know, they were the conservative news outlet, you know, kings for the longest period of time, but they weren't in it for that. They were in it because why compete against, you know, everybody else when they can be standalone? You know, that's why, you know, they do so well on cable news, because they're not competing against equivalents. Of course, they are now. You know, you got One America News, you've got Newsmax, The Real, America's Voice. You know, you've got various, you know, lots of things have spawned. And so Fox, you know, doesn't have that monopoly anymore on the conservative side of things. But they had a great run.
Right.
So I'm happy for them. But it don't confuse that with, you know, loving your country. I, you know, there's a couple of people on there on that channel. Hannity obviously loves his country. Yes. You know, Tucker Carlson obviously loves this country. But, you know, everybody else there is just catching a paycheck.
Yeah, they're in it for the paycheck. They're in it for the notoriety. They're in it for the, hey, how many Twitter followers do I have today? How many likes am I going to get on my tweet? How famous am I going to get? Am I going to be able to write a book and have a residual income? It's all about the money and power. You know, Alex, I want you to tell everybody where they can find information on AmpFest. I was on the website, and it's pretty awesome. We got the pool party, and obviously that's going to be awesome. I mean, they're going to have a swimsuit contest or whatever.
We're going to have a fashion show.
Fashion. And it's going to be a very tasteful fashion show.
Go to AmericanPriority.com. And then you click on the AmpFest American Revival is what we're calling it this year, because we want to focus on, you know, American culture, and we're going to have some, you know, interesting things happen. You're not going to want to miss what happens this year. If you were here last year, you had a great time. Everybody had a great time. You know, this year we don't have to deal with the COVID restrictions. So definitely go to AmericanPriority.com and, you know, get your, we've got some packages now. So if you're planning on staying at the Trump Doral, which is a beautiful resort, we've got some 3-day packages, so that's a little bit less expensive in total for the trip. Make a vacation out of it. We've got some deals we've worked out with the hotel for spa packages, so you can kind of get, you know, the whole, you know, first class treatment there. And then if you're into golf, I'm not a golf person, but I've been told the Blue Dragon is a bucket list golf PGA golf course. So if you're into the golfing and you want to play with, you know, we're going to have folks out there like Kevin Sorbo or some sporting, you know, people in from you know, the football, baseball. We're going to have actors. You know, I don't know if General Flynn is going to play, but I think he wants to play. You know, folks that, you know, you get to play golf with people. And I think we're going to do like a captain's choice thing. So if you're not that good, which is me, you know, at least if you play in a game with somebody who's good, you could still win.
Hey, that's not a bad deal. Yeah, General Flynn. I think is Dinesh D'Souza, I believe, is going to be there too.
Roger Stone is going to be. If you want to, we just put this up on the website too. Roger Stone is going to have a little special VIP party. So if you want to just party with Roger Stone in our presidential suite, you know, check that out. If you know, I've known Roger Stone for since our first AmFest in 2018. You know, he's a very interesting fellow, and he's been around since Nixon. Okay, so that means he's seen a lot, and he's got a lot of stories. So what you want to do is you want to be at a party with Roger Stone and have his full attention telling you something.
Not only that, with a couple martinis in him, because I heard at that specific party that there's a chance that he's going to teach people to make the martini that he learned, I believe, from Nixon himself on how to make.
Well, that's what he told us. So yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of stories, and he's going to teach us how to make a martini. I think he's going to have his own vodka line soon. So yes. if you haven't seen that yet, he's really branching out into a lot of things, and so I'm looking forward to it. I always enjoy my time with Roger. You know, he and I come from different worlds, obviously. But it doesn't mean we don't have a lot of common ground, and we discuss things that we both have an interest in. And I think anybody who's a fan of his or would like to meet him and get to know him a little bit better would want to take advantage of that. Dinesh D'Souza is going to be there. We're going to have a surprise performance on stage. We hope to make an announcement soon. And we're also going to have a movie. I'm not sure which movie it is, but we'll be posting that on the website shortly. We try to exhibit some culture at our events. And so we've had a movie premiere at every one of our events. The first year we showed Hoaxed, which was about the fake news media. And by the way, if you haven't seen that movie from Mike Cernovich, you know, I was, you know, one of the producers on that, you know, go to Vimeo, I believe, and or also on Amazon. It's really a great documentary. You know, documentaries can sometimes be a little slow, but that's not. That was a good one, and it'll really kind of wake you up. We had Dinesh D'Souza's movie last year, and we were going to have some new movie this year. I don't know what it is yet. My partners, Katja Lee and Tom Chatelet, are working on that right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, Roger Stone's awesome. I did a show with him 2 days ago that's going to come out in the next day or so, and he's just an extraordinary person. And I told Roger this. Someone had asked me not too long ago. If I'm a big cigar guy myself, I'm a collector, a big smoker. And they said, if you could have share a cigar with one person, cigar in discussion, who would it be? And I said, Roger Stone, except the person I said it to, he's a left leaner. And as soon as I said it, he kind of went a little pale in the face and he goes, Roger Stone. And I go, yeah. And he goes, well then who's your number two? I says, George Burns, but he's dead. I said, me and Roger Stone, Carnegie Club, New York City. I'm going to drink my single malt. He's going to drink his martini. We're going to have the best conversation any two cigar smoking guys could have. All right, Alex, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk about AmFest. And it's AmericanPriority.com, correct?
Yeah, AmericanPriority.com. And then on Twitter, it's AmFest_USA. If you want to, you know, send us a tweet or follow us on Twitter, keep up to date with what's going on.
Cool. I'm going to have everything in the show notes that they could reach out. I'm going to try to get the green light from the wife. I think her and I would have a great time down in Miami and go to AmFest. So I'm hoping to meet you in person while I'm there.
All right,
again,
great.
Yeah, again, Alex, thank you so much. And everybody, to get the episodes, remember, go to the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. Everything about AmFest and American Priority will be in the show notes. Like always, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most of all, God bless America. Take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776 at gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.